Hi, we here at Grace Life would love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you. We pray that this message will be a blessing to you and further establish you in the truth of God's Word.
So today we're looking at the significance of free will. And some of you are thinking, maybe you saw the post on Facebook that I shared, the significance of free will. What can this actually mean? How does this line in with the series of the Father, Heart of God? How does free will line in with the series? How does it fit in? And it fits in perfectly. Because without free will, God wouldn't be a Father of love. Without free will, God wouldn't be a Father of love. Then we would just be robots and we wouldn't be able to choose anything, and we'll just kind of be conformed to think in a specific way all of the time with no question asked, no decisions, no choices that we need to make, and we'll just kind of live like robots, programmed to think a certain way without any defects. And that is not free will. That is not who God is. God gave us free will. Now I want to ask a question. All of us want to enjoy true freedom, right? All of us want to enjoy true freedom. I'm sure you want to enjoy true freedom. And true freedom is discovered and discussed in John chapter 8, verse 32. And Jesus said that you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. So true freedom is only found in the truth that Jesus Christ brought for us. Now, a lot of people are thinking that they're living in freedom because, hey, I can do what I want to do. Hey, I can say what I want to say. Hi, I can live just the way I want to live because I've got free will. We see a lot of this in America where there's crazy things happening. People, they keep writing laws for this and that. The next thing, like, I'm free. I can do whatever I want to do. But if your freedom and if your free will isn't aligning with the freedom that Jesus came to give you, you are living in deception and you are living as a slave. I knew that would bless some of you. If your free will is contradicting the Word of God, if your freedom that you are currently living in is contradicting the Word of God and the truth that Jesus came to bring for us, you are living as a slave. You are living in this Matrix world. Anyone seen the Matrix movie? Yeah, there's like you're living in this world and everything seems fine, but you're living a lie. It's not a real world. Okay? Now, I want to ask you a question as well. All of us want to experience some joy, some love, some peace, and the rest of the fruit of the Spirit, right? All of us want that manifest in our lives. Some more patience, especially if you have to work in town. Some patience on that road to town, eh? That hour and something minutes to town. Just one way, and then you have to come back as well. So all of us want to manifest and have some patience manifest in our lives. Now take a wild guess. How you could get to enjoy this true freedom? How you get to enjoy this fruit of the Spirit? Any guesses out there? How do you get to enjoy this? I thought Chris was almost going to raise his hand, but he was just scratching his neck. No, that's awesome. That's awesome. It's very simple, but yet so profound. We get to enjoy all of this. This freedom Jesus came to bring us. The fruit of the Spirit. We can get all of that, enjoy all of that by making one shift. Choose it. Just choose it. That is free will. God gave you free will to either reject it or to choose it. Galatians chapter 5 verse 22 to 25. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. So let's go there quickly. Galatians 5, 22 to 25. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. So firstly, it is the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the fruit of man. It is the fruit of the Spirit. We get to enjoy and have the fruit of the Spirit manifest in our lives, as Jesus said in John chapter 15, if we abide in Him. Abiding in Him is a purposeful spending time with Jesus, doing life with Jesus. It is an active thing. It's not an accidental thing. You don't just accidentally abide with someone that is not your spouse. You don't accidentally go and lie with someone that is not your spouse. Everyone understand what I'm talking about here? It doesn't happen by accident. It happens on purpose. The same way we, on purpose, abide in Jesus. And that is not talking about becoming born again. It's about doing life with Him. Okay, so if we want the fruit of the Spirit to be manifest in our lives, we need to abide in the life giver. We need to abide and walk in the Spirit. And we're going to get there just now. Now, fruit comes naturally, right? It's not something that we put forth. It's not something that we kind of, we go to the supermarket, we buy a few apples, then we go home with super glue, and then we super glue the apples to the tree, and then it's like, cool, fruit. It's growing on the tree. Or go and buy a Christmas tree and put all of this fake fruit on the tree. A lot of Christians are fake Christmas tree Christians, where they're producing something and acting in a certain way, and that is where the word hypocritical comes from. Where they're saying things, but they're not actually living it out. Because they can't live it out, because it's not a fruit in them, their root hasn't been changed. So if the root is not changed, the fruit can't change. It's very simple, it's very basic, but yet the simple things we get wrong and we get confused about it. Verse 23 that says that there is no law against such things. When looking at the fruit of the Spirit, there is no law that is held to these things. For example, you won't be doing any stealing if you've got self-control, right? You won't be getting angry in traffic at a taxi driver pushing in front of you if you are having patience. You won't be committing adultery if you're manifesting the fruit of love in your life. So against such, against all of the fruit of the Spirit, if we've got these things and we've got the Spirit, yes we do, we've got a Spirit, how about you? Chanting some cheerleading songs here. So we've got these things, but we get to choose if we're going to manifest them in our lives, if we're going to bring them, allow them to come to the surface. Verse 23:4 goes on and says, "And they that are Christ's, that is us, we've become born again, we have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts." This is talking about that old sinful nature. It's not talking about we have died physically, but our old sinful natures died. If you missed out on our series on spirit, soul, and body, the framework of mankind, please get it, because it will bless you. If you do not understand spirit, soul, and body, you're going to live a frustrated Christian. You're going to feel like you are hypocritical at some times, because you think you are only body, you are only one part being. But we are spirit, and our spirit has become born again, and then we've got a body, and then we've got a soul, our processing, our thinking system, where our worldview is formed. And we need to align those things and see how it works together, because if we do not understand it, then we're going to misinterpret Scripture. Verse 25 says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." There's a living in the Spirit, which all of us, I'm trusting, will give you an opportunity to receive Christ if you haven't received it. We are all living in the Spirit as born-again believers. But we aren't all walking in the Spirit. Living in the Spirit is our position. That is always right. It's always perfect. But then there's a walking in the Spirit, which is our condition. And I'm not saying we need to do behavior modification. We need to be more consumed and aware of who we are in the Spirit, abiding in Jesus on purpose, and the walking in the Spirit is going to become more evident. We were created in His image, position, and in His likeness. That is our condition. We are all growing more and more in understanding who we are and fulfilling and walking out the life of Jesus here on earth. But it doesn't happen by accident, because we've got free will. You've got a free will to come to church on Sunday morning, or free will to not to come to church on Sunday morning. Galatians 5:16 says it this way, and it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." All of this is talking about free will. It's an invitation to walk in the Spirit. Even receiving the life of God, becoming born again, living in the Spirit, that is a free will choice. But then a lot of people stop there and they're like, cool, I've got my ticket to heaven, fire insurance. And they leave it at that. And then a lot of Christians are living like unbelievers because they aren't pursuing the things of God and abiding in Jesus and doing life with Him. Then your actions and your condition can't change, because you're not changing your mind. You're not spending time with Jesus, receiving the Word, having the Word wash your conscience and your thinking. It's something we all get to choose or not choose. But I guarantee you, if you start choosing the things of God, abiding in Him, there's going to be a transformation happening in your life that people are going to be drawn to. Where you're going to start having an excellent spirit in your workplace, and you are going to start receiving promotions that you wouldn't have ever dreamed of. because we are walking in the Spirit. Now, with all of this free will that we get to choose or not choose, I like the Marvel's great Spider-Man said, with great power comes great responsibility. There's great power in having free will, freedom. But with that power, there comes a great responsibility and a cost for us if we do not choose it. Let's go back to the beginning. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 to 17. It's always been about free will. God is a God of free will, giving us a choice. Genesis 2, 16 to 17 says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Now a lot of us are sitting here and we don't understand fully what this picture looked like. God said you can eat of all of the fruit in the garden, but there's one fruit that you can't eat of. Okay? There was a tree of knowledge of good and evil, and then there was a tree of eternal life. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil was the one tree that they weren't supposed to eat of. Guess how many other trees there were in the garden? Thousands. Thousands and thousands of edible fruit trees and just berries and amazing things to consume. But guess what man went to do? They went to focus on the one thing that they weren't allowed to have. How many of us do that on a regular basis? Man, if I just have that one new thing, my life is going to be changed. If I just have that one thing, then I'm going to be a happy person. If I just get married, man, then my life is going to be amazing. What's that one thing for you? For Adam and Eve, it was one thing out of thousands of good things. Thousands and thousands of good things, but they were so consumed, and Satan played a role, obviously, in it, to get them focused on, man, I don't have this, and I don't have that. When last have you sat down and thought about everything that you do have? Last week we had our Thanksgiving service, and Thanksgiving is powerful. Stop griping and complaining about everything that you do not have and start glorifying God for everything you do have. The story continues in Genesis chapter 3, just jumping down to that, verse 1 to 5. In the big picture here, some of you may be thinking, because you haven't been listening to the title of the series, free will, significance of free will. God gave Adam and Eve a choice. If there was no tree of knowledge of good and evil, if there was no decision that they could reject God, then there wouldn't have been free will. If you get married to someone, or if you start pursuing someone, and they don't have a decision to reject you, there's no free will. And guess what goes out of the door with no free will? Love. If you force someone by some magic trick, by waving some wand or whatever, some potion of love, get Cupid down here to shoot them with an arrow, you'll never be truly satisfied in that relationship, because you do not know what they would have chosen if you gave them free will. And it's the same with God. God gave us free will to demonstrate His love for us. Verse 1 to 5, and it says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" This is an extreme again. Hey, Satan always comes with these extremes, eh? And we're going to look at the other tactic that he has. He comes with this extreme. Did God really say you can't eat any fruit in the garden? Like, how ridiculous is that? Satan clearly knew what God said. And he said, not of any fruit. And he said to the, Eve responded to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, and neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of this, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" Now, there's a lot in there. We're not going to get into everything. The one thing that I'm going to focus on here. Now, this is Satan's other tactic. He comes and brings a truth with a lie. Like he knows how to just make it sound truthful, but then also completely distort it to be a full-on lie. So the truth was here that yes, if they ate of that fruit, then their eyes will be opened and they will know good and evil. That was the truth. But the lie was that in order to do that, or the reason that they should do that, is so that they could be like God. But Adam and Eve were already like God, because Genesis says that God created Adam, He created man in their image and in His likeness. So that was already set. They were already like God. So Satan knows how to distort the truth, and we need to know the Word of God, because if you look at the story of Eve, she didn't have a first-hand revelation, a first-hand word from God about the story of what was going to happen if they ate of the fruit. It was a second-hand revelation that she got from Eve, from Adam. Thank you, I'm just testing you guys. So she got a second-hand word, and that is the importance, and just I want to insert the importance of, you can't just come to church and receive from the pastor. You can't just sit online and listen to online teachers. Those things are great. There's a purpose and there's a gifting for the body of Christ, for the pastors, the teachers, to equip the saints for their works of ministry. There's a purpose for that. But you can't just live on that. You need to take this word and go home and have personal revelation from God about the specific word. That is what you need to go and do. Go and make this word your own. Otherwise, you're going to stay an infant, a baby. What does an infant bird do? The mommy chews the worm and then spits it into the infant, the chicken's mouth. Now, some of you guys are getting like visuals of what is happening here. I'm digesting the word for you and then I'm throwing it out at you. Please receive the word. It's a good word. Still receive the word. Even though I'm digesting it for you and breaking it down for you. But go on and mature and get personal revelation from God about this word. Deuteronomy 30 verse 19 says this, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I've set before you life and death, blessings and curse. Therefore choose life that you and your offspring may live. There's life and there's death. There's blessings and there's a curse. If there wasn't an option, if there wasn't a choice to reject, then it wouldn't have been free love. But with this, it's like having this multiple choice question paper. And it's like, cool, there's death, there's life. There's curse, there's blessing. This is the answer. Choose life. That's literally what God is saying. Choose life. Choose me. Choose relationship with me. And you're going to enjoy everything. The blessings, the overflowing life and peace. Now ask us a question, and I want you to partake this morning and make a conscious decision as I'm asking this question. Do we want to, for the rest of our lives, every day, at every given opportunity, choose life and not choose death? We want to choose life, right? We want to choose blessing every day. Who wants to live in any form of curse? Who wants to live in any form of death? None of us. For sure not me. John 14 verse 6, Jesus says this, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is the Father heart of God. We get to experience the Father heart of God through Jesus. Jesus said, I am it. I'm it to everything, to all of the blessings, to all of the life, to the abundance. I'm it. I'm the way to it. I am the life. I am the truth. There's only one truth. There aren't hundreds of truths in this world. There are hundreds of truths, but it's fake truths. It's truths that are deceiving. Satan came with a half-truth to Eve, and it led to deception and led to the fall of mankind. If you're grabbing onto half-truths, you are setting yourself up for failure. You're setting yourself up for death and curses. It's not because God wants you to die. It's not because God wants you to be cursed, but it's because He's given you a free will. You get to choose. John 10, 9 to 10 says, I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, again, he is the way. He is the truth. He is the way to life. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. So this is super significant. We are born again, we are saved. Jesus said that you can only be saved and enjoy the sozo life, healing, deliverance, prosperity, and wholeness if you come to me, if you enter in through me. That is the only way. But then Jesus also says, you'll go in and you'll come out. Or you'll go out and you'll come in. That is what we are talking about. You've got a free will. Yes, you are born again. But from that day on, how are you going to conduct your life? How are you going to pursue the things of God? Are you just going to use your fire insurance ticket and your ticket to go to heaven and kind of do whatever you want to do just because of God's grace? Paul said that is stupid. Continuing to live in sin is stupid. But guess what? You can continue to live in sin. I'm not being sarcastic now. You can. You can continue to live in sin. But it's going to be stupid to continue to live in sin. Because sin leads to death. Sin will wreck your life. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. Sin will make you pay more than you want to pay. And so sin will make you stay longer than you want to stay. Always. So to continue to live in sin just because of God's grace is stupidity. And I'm trying to say it very nicely. But stupidity is the only word that comes to mind. But again, you've got free will to choose how you're going to do life. And whether you're going to receive this word as a calling, as an invitation to live a higher life, to live in the holiness that Jesus called us to live in. And it's not by striving, it's not by working out this like, I must be holier than Catherine, I need to be more kind than Catherine, my wife, because we're running this race against one another. No, the Bible said, do not compare yourself amongst yourselves. Look to Jesus, focus on Jesus, and the fruit of the Spirit is going to be manifest in your life more accidentally than you ever tried to have them on purpose. Are we going to make a conscious decision to choose life? Choosing life is going to cost you something. But not choosing it is going to cost you everything. Choosing life is going to cost you something. People are going to look funny at you. When you stand up for what is truth, not the world's truth, not cultural truth, not society's truth, not this new age truth, but if you're going to stand up for the truth of who Jesus said He was and the life that He came to bring us, it's going to cost you something. People are going to ridicule you. People are going to get angry at you. But again, not choosing it is going to cost us everything. This world, we've seen many worlds and many countries are falling apart because they are choosing truths that aren't aligning with the truth of who Jesus is and what He came to do. And those countries are falling apart. People are falling apart. And we're moving into the end times where Paul said that people call good evil and evil good. That's what's happening all across this world. Because people are becoming culturally relevant, not word relevant. The word is the only form of life that we can build our lives upon. Anything else will keep us captive. Bondage. Like the Matrix. Adam and Eve did this. They didn't choose life. They didn't choose the tree of life. They chose self. They chose the knowledge of good and evil. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That is pride. That is self. I want to be like God. Like God is. I want to be as strong as that person. I want to be like this. I want to be like that. That is pride. That is self. Not believing. Adam and Eve did not believe God's word. That God was good. That God was a God of love. If you do not believe that God is a God of love, you are going to choose self. If you do not believe that God's calling to stay pure until marriage, if you do not believe that that is for your benefit, you are going to do it your way, and you're going to hurt yourself, and you're going to hurt other people. And you're going to regret it 10 years from now when you actually do get married, or whenever you get married. Now, I'm not saying that there isn't freedom in Jesus and there isn't restoration, but I am saying with your free will and choosing out to live just the way you want to live, it's going to cost you everything. So from this day forward, I'm not trying to put a heavy on us, but when we choose Jesus and the way that He directed us to do life with Him, we are going to experience life and peace. We're going to experience abundance. Adam and Eve lost everything and they wrecked it. But Jesus came to do an amazing work. Romans 5:17 says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one," that's talking about Adam and the fall of man, much more, "they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." Jesus came to restore and perfect and better everything that was lost in Adam and Eve. He didn't just come and level the playing field. He came to radically transform the playing field so that we can be fully standing holy and righteous in God's presence. Having His Spirit abiding in us, we've become the temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in 1 Corinthians 6:17 says that he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit with Him. There's no separation. But we get to choose whether we're going to walk out that which is inside of us or not. But man, oh man, does life get exciting when we start walking out the Spirit of God in everyday life. What does choosing life look like in everyday life? It's about choosing Jesus. Choosing to focus on Jesus rather than what is going on around us. We are going to go through difficult times. We're going to lose people. We're going to lose lost one. Or we're going to lose loved ones. But we get to focus. Where's our attention? Is it on set on eternity? Are we going to see them again? Or is it set on this current situation? I'm never going to see them again. Like, I'm going to be alone for the rest of my life. Like, I'm never going to experience love again. I'm never going to experience whatever. You fill in the blank. You can set your heart and focus on those things, or you can set it on eternity and have Jesus come to restore and comfort you through that loss. We need to choose to value what Jesus values rather than what the world values. Choosing to align our views with His, not the other way around. I've said this before. Too many people won't let the Word of God get into the way of what they believe. Too many people won't let the Word of God get into the way of what they believe. Become politically correct, culturally relevant. The Bible isn't relevant anymore. The Bible is ancient. Yes, the Bible is ancient in the sense that it's been around for millions of years. But we need to realize that Jesus said that He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the only life. And God declared that His Word won't pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's Word will never pass away. So trying to fix the Word and adjusting the Word to fit in with our culture and how we feel and how doctors and society have said that, no, but you're actually that way and you're actually this way. If it's not aligning with the Word of God, you are falling for a lie. And you're selling the finished work of the cross short. You're cheapening the work of Jesus on the cross. I'm hoping this word is blessing you, because it feels like it's a heavy word, and like it feels like I'm at a funeral, but this isn't a funeral. Or it could be, like, rather see it as a funeral. You need to die to self. Die to self. And you don't just die to self one day when you get born again. Yes, in your spirit, your born-again spirit and your old sinful nature is gone completely. It will never come back again. But from there, in our thinking, in the way we do things, we need to die to self. The self-man, the ego, the I. Paul said, "This I have been crucified with Christ." It's the ego, it's a born-again nature. He's been crucified. But now, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives through me. That is a choice. Is Christ going to live through you, or isn't He going to live through you? He's not going to force Himself upon you. We get to choose whether Christ is going to live through us. Galatians 5:13 says, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty." Liberty, freedom. "Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Just because we are free to live however we want to live, do whatever we want to do, doesn't mean we should. Do not use this freedom. Paul is saying, do not use this freedom to just go and live in the flesh. Go and live and do life your way. Ah, but this feels good. I don't feel like doing that. I feel like doing it my way. Jesus' way is like, it's old school. Like, it's not relevant anymore. Like, things have changed. Yes, things have changed. Man has become more self-centered. Man has become great at elevating man's opinion above God's opinion. Selah. Amen or oh me. Thinking you're living in freedom when it's not true freedom and the freedom Jesus brought is deception. Romans 1 verse 21. It says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. So there's a knowing God, there's a having relationship with God, but then there's also a four keys, and we're not going to look at all four aspects of them. There's a glorifying God, there's a being thankful to God, there's a knowing the power of your imagination, and then there's a having a pure, a good heart towards God. We're going to look at the first two aspects here, not glorifying God and not being thankful. Again, we are talking about free will. Free will. We get to choose to glorify God. You don't need to glorify God. You really don't need to glorify God. We get to choose to glorify God. And we get to choose to be thankful. What does this word mean, to glorify God? What does glorified mean? It means to render or to esteem glorious. The word esteem also means to place a high value on something, to prize, to respect, to consider. How many people are prizing the word of God above the cultural relevance of this world? How many people are making decisions based on what is the culture saying? Let's have a vote. Let's see how many people can come together and agree on one thing. And then it's amazing because there's unity, and unity is beautiful, right? No. If unity isn't found around the truth of Jesus Christ, whatever you're coming in unity about is going to crash and burn. God is good, right? Amen. God is good. Thank you, Jesus, for free will. But I'm hoping that you are seeing with this free will, there's a lot of consequences. And you can go to heaven, thank you, Jesus, and you can live in your freedom, whatever that may look like, and you can go to heaven one day. But there's a scripture that talks about that one day in heaven, He'll wipe away our tears. Guess what we are going to cry about in heaven, mostly? Not living in the freedom that Jesus came to give us. Seeing what life could have been like if we chose Jesus' freedom. His truth, and not our truth. It doesn't matter how many people vote for something. If it contradicts the word of God and what Jesus came to bring, it's death. It's a curse. Jesus came to bring us life and peace. There's only blessing and life in Jesus. There's no other way. Hebrews 11 verse 24. So it's glorifying, is talking about esteeming and glorifying God. Magnifying His ways that are, His ways are better than our ways. Magnifying that. Hebrews 11 24 to 25. Example of Moses. And it says, by faith Moses, when he has come to his years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing free will. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses had a choice. And he chose the more difficult part in that moment. And a lot of times when we're choosing the things of God, it's not going to maybe be that great in the moment. But in the long run, there's going to be so much blessing, so much favor, so much fruitfulness in your life by choosing God's way. We see this in Abraham as well, Romans 4 verse 19 to 20. So Moses esteemed the way of God higher than the way and the pleasures of sin for a season. And Abraham, Romans 4 verse 19 to 20. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. So this is talking about Abraham and Sarah that got a promise from God that he's going to be a father of many of the nations, as much as, or have as many descendants as the sand of the seashore, of the stars in the sky. And yet he was 100 years old, and he didn't consider the deadness of Sarah's womb either. Verse 20, he staggered not. He didn't waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Who of you wants to be more strong in faith? Being stronger in faith, grow in your faith. Start giving glory to God. Last week we looked at Colossians chapter 2 verse 7. It's in our thankfulness that faith is being multiplied, stirred up in our hearts. So if you aren't glorifying God on a daily basis, being thankful to God on a daily basis, rather esteeming His word above your opinions and above your feelings, rather esteeming His word above the cultural relevance of things in this world, then you aren't going to grow strong in faith and you're not going to see the promises of God fulfilled in your life. It's a choice. Let's look at thankfulness quickly. Psalm 69 verse 30. I will praise the name of God with a song and I will magnify Him with thanksgiving. Magnify, glorifying Him with thanksgiving. The two go hand in hand. Psalm 103 verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. This is powerful. Both of these things, glorifying God and being thankful, it's a choice. We get to choose it. But when you start doing it, you're going to start seeing the supernatural power of God manifest in your life. You can't see the supernatural power of God manifest in your life if you do not know how to give thanks to God, if you do not know how to glorify God. A simple example of this as well. Either you've got the fear of man, and you value man's opinion higher than God's opinion, or you magnify God and you value His opinion about you higher than man's opinion. If you're in this side of the box, guess what? You're very rarely going to pray for someone to be healed because you do not want to be embarrassed. You do not want to have people think that you are weird. Like, we are weird. We are supernatural beings. Supernatural means it's not natural. The world out there is natural. They're doing things very naturally. But we aren't called to be natural beings. We are supernatural beings, born again, infused with the power of God. And I want to live at this place where I'm esteeming God's view of me and what His Word says about me higher than what this world is saying. Because then I'm not going to have the fear of man. And the fear of man is a snare. It will always prevent you from fulfilling your purpose. So that is why we need to glorify God and not glorify man and what they think of us. Both of these things, glorifying God and being thankful, always also requires a key element. Now this is a powerful word. It's gonna change your life if you choose it. If you choose it. Again, you don't need to choose it. But both of these, thankfulness and glorifying God, requires humility. Humility. A lot of the world doesn't know how to be humble because they've elevated self. I'm going to do it my way. I'm not going to listen to that person. What do they know? I'm not going to listen to God. Like he's not even real. Like your way, glorifying your way, glorifying self, glorifying your natural thinking process, glorifying your human brain. Guess what? Guess who created your human brain? God. Stop glorifying the things of this world and start glorifying the one who is the creator. And by the way, He's also called our Father. When we humble ourselves, we can't be humbled. That's humiliation. God will never force us into humility. He'll never force us into submission. Both humility and submission is a choice. And when you choose it, you are going to see superabounding blessings in your life. Choose to humble yourself. God says that He actively resists the prideful. But He gives more grace to the humble. So if you are feeling like you are being resisted, then maybe it's because of your pride. And it's not because God isn't loving you. It's because that is who He is. He is full of grace. He is full of truth. And that truth isn't maybe always going to sit right with you. Because if you've adopted and accepted a truth that is contradicting God's truth, a contradiction clashes. When there's a contradiction of opinions, there's a clash. So if you've accepted a truth and built your life around this pretty truth of, I'm doing it my way, there's going to be a clash in God. In God's ways and how He wants to do things. So it's not because God is mean. It's because you are choosing to clash with God because you're elevating and glorifying your opinion of yourself and how you want to do things higher than God's. When we humble ourselves and realize that God knows best because He does, right? Some of you aren't convinced. God does know best. He's God Almighty. He created the universe. He created you and me. He knows best. Just get with the program. God knows best. When we humble ourselves and we realize that God knows best, and we choose to accept His invitation too. I want to share five things with you that we get to accept again. This invitation from Him. This invitation to praise Him always through the storms, through whatever you're going through. Like I said, glorifying Him, being thankful. We get to choose this. There's an invitation for us to praise Him always through the storm. And we can only praise Him and glorify Him when I liked what Peter shared. If we look at the word glorifying Him, it's used interchangeably with the word magnifying as well. And a lot of you know what a magnifying glass is, right? You've played with those, we normally played with them and we burnt the ants. I know it was mean, but we kind of did that as well. It's so funny. But anyways, it wasn't obviously loving and caring for God's nature. So forgive me, please. I've also had my moments. But anyway, so this magnifying glass, what does it do? When you use it to magnify something, it doesn't change the actual size of the thing. But from your perspective, it changes the size of the thing. And that is what we get to choose. We get to pick up a magnifying glass and choose to magnify God. God doesn't get bigger. He's always as big as He'll ever be. He's never changed in size. He doesn't go to the gym and get buffed up. Like he is the size that He'll always be. But from our perspective, we get to choose to magnify Him and praise Him through whatever we're going through. And what it also does is it blurs out everything around it, and everything is centered around that area that is magnified. So the area around it doesn't get important anymore. That is what magnifying, praising God leads to. The things around you, the storm starts to fade away. You might be going through a horrible situation, but those feelings that go with that situation starts fading away because you are more focused on the presence of God and His holiness, and our eternity is going to be forever, and this momentary feelings of loss is going to be gone sooner than you know it. Second invitation, remember everything He's done for us. Thankfulness. We are so soon to forget. Forget not all of His benefits. We just read that scripture in Psalms. Forget not all of His benefits. Why did David write that? Because people are very good at forgetting. Forget not all of His benefits. We need to remember everything He's already done for us and be continually thankful for that. Third invitation, be part of a local church. We get to choose. These things are in God's Word. He's invited us to be part of a local church. Whether it's Grace Life Tigerberg, I don't care where it is, but when you choose to be part of a local church, there's a blessing that comes with that. By surrendering, by submitting to leadership. Again, submission or humility is a choice. You don't need to submit. You don't need to surrender. But guess what? When God asks us to do something, guess for whose benefit it is? Anyone? It's for our benefit. When God asks us to do something, it's for our benefit. When we choose to submit, it's for our benefit. And maybe some of you have never submitted to any form of authority, any leadership, and that's why it's maybe super difficult for you. But guess what? It's not going to get easier for you. Again, choosing the things of God is going to cost you something. It's going to cost you a little bit of discomfort every now and then, because who are they to tell me what to do? Who are they to kind of give me direction? Who are they? Sometimes it's not going to feel good to submit to a decision that is made. Sometimes my wife makes a decision and I don't always want to agree with that. But we are mutually submitted to one another, and sometimes I choose to submit to her decision. And guess what? It blesses me. It blesses me. When we choose to do things God's way, there is always a blessing for us. But it doesn't mean it's always just going to feel like the right thing to do. But we don't go based on our feelings. We go based on the Word of God. And God's Word says that we get to submit to leadership, to godly leadership, and to be part of a local church where there is leadership, where there is leading, where there is direction. If you're in a church where there's no direction, where there's no leading, leave. You won't grow there. You'll grow where there's a church and there's leadership and they're going in the direction with a leader. Number four, start using the gifts God has poured into every one of you. There's an invitation to start partaking in the gifts of God. Some of you are sitting on your gifts and you've never even tried to use them. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to wake you up. Because there's more to life than just making a lot of money. There's more to life than having 3 degrees or 4 degrees or 5 degrees. You've got gifts inside of you that is for the benefit of the body of Christ and to demonstrate the power of God in the broken world out there. The world is going to stay broken if the church doesn't stand up and start shining their lights through sharing the gospel and through demonstrating the power of God with the gospel being preached. Lastly, partake in the family business. You get to choose to partake in a family business by not just sowing your time, but sowing your finances as well. And again, thank you Jesus for free will, because you've got a free will never to sow any penny, any cent, any rand for any purpose. But man, oh man, is it fun to start trusting God with your finances, glorifying Him with your finances, realizing that He is your provider and you're not your own provider. Because you can lose your job tomorrow. And if you held on to yourself as being this provider for your household, that weight is going to get very heavy very soon. But when you continue to look to God as your provider, and actually starting partaking in the family business, advancing the gospel, because the gospel being advanced, going into all the nations, preaching the gospel, it takes money, it takes finances. So we need to steward our finances, but it's free will decision. Coming to a close. We've got free will to either live mediocre and defeated Christian lives, or we've got free will to live victorious, supernatural Christian lives. The choice is yours. It all starts with a choice to surrender what we think is best to what God created and ordained for us as best. Can I say that again? It all starts with a choice, and this is a daily decision. A choice to surrender what we think is best to what God has created and ordained to be best. God's best is always going to stay the best. It's never going to change. It's always the same. And the sooner we get with that program, the sooner we're going to start seeing the blessings of God and the life of God manifest in our lives and through our lives. But it is a choice.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to connect with us, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us at info@gracelife.co. If you'd like to order more resources or discover more about us, you can visit our website at www.gracelife.co or find us on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.